So we often choose themes for our retreats, and the theme that Kamala and I talked about a few months ago was a theme of faith and wisdom. Faith and wisdom are the two of the five spiritual faculties, the first and the last of the five spiritual faculties, which include faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. These faculties are understood to be qualities that we develop, that we cultivate, that support our practice, that support our growth of understanding, of meeting our experience moment after moment. They're skills, and they are also, in a way, understood to be a path. They offer a direction of practice for us. Sometimes it's said that with faith in what the Buddha offered, the teachings around understanding our suffering, letting go of the cause of suffering, realizing the ending of suffering, and cultivating the path to the ending of suffering, that these faculties lead from one to the next. And so with confidence in what the Buddha taught, it leads to an energy, to an inspiration, to actually engage. Because the faith in the teachings of the Buddha is not simply a kind of an abstract faith or a faith of simply ideas or belief. It's faith that the path that he taught could be acted on, engaged with. So the confidence in that leads to an energy to actually engage with the path. That energy results in a strengthening of mindfulness. And energy and mindfulness come together and create a stability of mindfulness over time, which is concentration. And these three together, energy, mindfulness, and concentration, are the foundation, the container, from which the understanding of wisdom grows, that the teachings that the Buddha offered are not simply good ideas. They can be understood for ourselves. We can realize for ourselves the truth of these teachings, and that is the wisdom. And so these five faculties can be seen as a kind of a path or a progression in practice. They can also be seen as a cycle in which the cultivation of faith leading to the practices allows us to have a sense, in a kind of an iterative way, we get a taste of some of the truth of what the Buddha taught. A little taste at the beginning. And that, in turn, inspires us to keep going. It strengthens our faith, our confidence in the teachings themselves, because we've tasted the truth of even just a little bit of it. Maybe just a little bit of seeing how bringing mindfulness to bear on a challenging emotion gives us a little bit of space around it, allowing us to be with it without being so reactive to it. And we get a taste of the release from some of the struggle, from some of the suffering around that difficult emotion. And we, in that moment, have a sense for ourselves of the truth of what the Buddha taught. which then strengthens our faith in what the Buddha taught, encouraging us to engage more. So these five faculties all work together and are strengthened together as we practice. And as I said, we'll be focusing in terms of the talks in particular on faith and wisdom during this week. So I'd like to just say a few words about these two in particular. Faith is traditionally the first in the list of these five faculties. In a way, the path of practice begins with the confidence that we can engage. And yet, it's not confidence in the abstract. It's confidence in something in particular. And it's confidence in what the Buddha taught. Confidence in the wisdom of the Buddha. And so, in some ways, even though wisdom is at the end of the list, we have to have some understanding or some sense of connecting with the wisdom of the Buddha in order to even have that confidence. So, faith, the Pali term this is translating is sada, and it's often translated as faith, sometimes translated as confidence, sometimes translated as trust. I like all of these terms. They all convey different aspects of this quality of faith, of sada. Traditionally, the faith that we are encouraged to cultivate is confidence in, faith in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Confidence in the Buddha in that he actually had something to teach us, that his understanding led him to a freedom himself, and that that understanding is something that we can engage with, his Dharma, his teaching. The faith in the Dharma, in that it can be engaged with, can be cultivated, the tools of the Dharma can be cultivated and seen to bear fruit in our own lives. And the confidence or trust in the Sangha, the community of practitioners that support us in our practice. In my own exploration of what it is that I have faith in this teaching, it really is in the Dharma, in the teachings that the Buddha offered and the practices that he offered. His own exploration was motivated by looking at the question of suffering, of dukkha. He looked at his own life, he looked out at the world, and saw just how much struggle, stress, dissatisfaction, unease there was in the world. There is, there continues to be. And he asked the question, is it possible to be free from that? And through his own efforts, his own understanding, his own exploration, he found a path, a way out of suffering. It's not a way out of unpleasant experience, but rather a way to be at ease, at peace, no matter what the conditions of life, of the world are. Now, this isn't an ease or a peace that is passive. Sometimes when we think about ease and peace, we just imagine just sitting still without doing anything. But the ease the peace that comes with this being okay with whatever the conditions of life are. That okayness is about being okay with what this is in this moment. It already is. This moment already is. Resistance to what already is essentially is, that's where the dukkha lies. That's where the suffering lies. Resistance, wanting this, what this is, this moment is, to be different. That's where the suffering lies. And paradoxically, the being completely okay with this, not reactive to what's happening in this moment, provides the framework, the inspiration, and the open-heartedness to step forward into the next moment with wisdom, with skill. And so the peace, the ease of the Buddha isn't about non-action, but it is about skillful action. And so this is some of the wisdom that the Buddha offers us, the possibility for ease in this world, and yet that is ease with skillful action. Wisdom develops in stages. We start by hearing some of the teachings. If we didn't have the Buddha, this is, well, thank you to the Buddha for discovering this path. It is not an obvious path. It may seem kind of clear once we start to see it, but for the Buddha to discover it himself was quite amazing. Very, very few of us would discover this path without hearing it first. And so this is the first stage of wisdom, hearing this teaching, hearing a teaching that expresses the possibility of liberation, freedom from suffering. With that, hearing that, we start to reflect on it perhaps, think about, how does this relate to my life? Is this something that makes sense for me to engage with? And so our own intellect, our own processes of mind start to work on that wisdom, and it becomes perhaps a little bit more our own. We massage it in our own hearts and minds, and perhaps even begin to act on that teaching. In the acting on these teachings, we begin to understand them for ourselves. Begin to understand what the Buddha meant by letting go of the reactivity to what's happening now. Letting go of that reactivity will lead to peace, to ease, to freedom. And we begin to understand it for ourselves, and then the wisdom becomes not abstract at all, but becomes understood in our bones, begins to be realized for ourselves. And this is the wisdom of insight, that what the Buddha taught makes sense to us at a very deep level. So we need some sense of trust, of confidence in what the Buddha taught. So this is partly how the Dharma talks work, the teachings work. We explore together, we explore how to approach these teachings. It really is a kind of a radical shift of perspective from our usual way of dealing with the world. The most succinct way that this wisdom is framed is by the Four Noble Truths: the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the end of suffering and the truth of the path leading to the end of suffering. And the way faith engages with this is that we are not asked simply to believe these statements, but asked to act on them. We're asked to understand suffering, to let go of the cause of suffering, the reactivity, the craving, the clinging. We're asked to realize for ourselves the ending of suffering, which comes as we let go of the cause of suffering. And we're asked to cultivate the path. So the hearing the teachings, as we start to engage, actually stepping onto the path, taking action, being willing to run the experiment, essentially. That's how I framed it to myself at the very beginning of my practice. I heard some of these wisdom teachings. You know, even just a little bit of the wisdom teachings, one little bit of wisdom I heard at the very beginning of my practice was, it might be helpful to, rather than act on your difficult emotions, to turn towards it and feel the experience of the emotion itself. It was a little bit of wisdom I read in a book on the Buddhist teaching. And it did not make any practical sense to me to follow that bit of advice. But having hit bottom and having had nothing else work in terms of the miserableness I was experiencing, I was willing to try it. And so even though it didn't make intellectual sense to me, the willingness to engage, that's the beginning of the expression of faith. I was willing to run the experiment. So this is how faith begins for us. We engage with the teachings. Maybe even as I, you know, engage with this, I don't know how this is going to work, but let's see. We engage with the teachings, and then we start to see, actually, quite quickly at times, how helpful it is. I didn't quite understand how it worked, but I did see that there was a lessening of reactivity around my emotions as I turned to observe them. Over the course of months, of course, not the first time. But over the course of months, I began to experience the benefits. And this led to an increase in the faith, an increase in the confidence to engage with these teachings. Like, yeah, some of these other ones don't make any sense to me either. Not self, what's that about? But having seen some of the benefits, we start to trust and engage more. And so these two qualities of faith and of wisdom really feed each other. They go back and forth. They spiral and connect to each other. And so we'll really be exploring the first noble truth, the understanding suffering. This is really the heart of our mindfulness practice, in a way, looking at our experience and understanding it. Whatever comes up, moment after moment, meeting each moment, we begin to understand how our minds react. We begin to understand the conditions that lead to those reactions. The understanding is what frees us. That not intellectual understanding, but the understanding of seeing, of being with, of actually seeing moment after moment, seeing in the unfolding of our experience. What is the suffering? How is it created? How does it come to be? How does it fall apart? We explore this, and the processes of our mind actually begin to understand Unfortunately, the processes of our mind also in that understanding begin to let go. It's not something that we can try. We can try to let go, and at times we may be able to let go a little bit of some of the ways we see we're caught. We can remind ourselves, this pattern of thought is not so helpful, and get a little bit of stepping back from it. And yet the real freedom comes when the mind itself understands and begins to let go. It's not something we can make happen, but we can be there when it does happen. The only way we can be there when it does happen is by being present. So faith and wisdom are kind of the beginning and end of this set of five faculties. And yet they are kind of the engine in a way that makes our practice go. Wisdom sets the course. Faith provides the motivation to follow that course. And so I offer that for just a setting of the theme, the tone for the retreat. And we'll be exploring these two sides of the path over the next week.